It's Wednesday, February 4th, 2009, day 13 of
President Obama DEA Raid Watch.
In 2008, candidate Barack Obama was asked about his position on DEA raids on California medical marijuana providers.
When it comes to medical marijuana, I have more of a practical view than anything else.
On Tuesday, January 20th, 2009, Barack Obama was inaugurated as our 44th president of the United States.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
On Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, Barack Obama's Justice Department resources were used in a DEA raid to circumvent California's medical marijuana laws.
I want folks to be investigating violent crimes and potential terrorism.
President Obama, you can redirect Justice Department resources, but so far, you've said and done nothing.
We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with.
Mr. Obama, shut down these raids. Brought to you by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at norml.org, who believe it should be normal for politicians to listen to the will of the people. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. I have some sad news to deliver. No, it's not the DEA raids that took place in L.A. We'll be getting to that in the hemp headlines. It's kind of personal. I found out today that my XM satellite radio show, the Russ Belville Show, has been canceled. Yes, my birthday was the last episode of the Russ Belville Show, and kind of down about it, but it's all right. Just means I can dedicate more of my time to ending adult marijuana prohibition. Now, speaking of those DEA raids in L.A., there is going to be a protest at the L.A. Federal Building on Thursday at noon. So check out our blog at stash.normal.org on our activists agenda calendar, and you can get a clickable Google map to get you there. We're also starting a new project here on the Daily Audio Stash. Our current project is the Politicians on Pot project, where we ask you to write to your legislators and ask them their positions on medical marijuana, decriminalization, legalization. And when you send the responses back to us, we post it on the Stash, so there's a database of all these politicians' views on pot. Well, our latest project is called Operation Arresting Hypocrisy, and this one comes as an idea from one of our Stash readers. He had noted that the sheriff in South Carolina was talking about arresting Michael Phelps because he admitted to using marijuana, so he suggested that the LAPD go and arrest Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger because there's just as much photographic proof of him smoking pot as Michael Phelps. So I got to thinking about it, and I put together a letter. You can find it out on our blog at stash.normal.org that you could use to write to your local, county, or even state police. Heck, even send it to your attorney general and ask them to arrest the politician in your area who you can prove has admitted to smoking pot. When you get your replies, we'll post them up on the blog under Operation Arresting Hypocrisy. Now, the Michael Phelps story is still in the news, and coming up in the hemp headlines, I'm going to play you some audio from ABC's The View, where Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters and the crew all talk about Phelps and getting caught with the bong. It's also kind of interesting to note how the mainstream media is covering the story. Times' Joe Klein has a post out that just says, "Legalize it already." And Kathleen Parker from The Washington Post is also calling for legalization, taxation, and regulation. This is some amazing news, and we'll get to that in our hemp headlines. Now, coming up in our interview segments, of course, today is Wednesday, so we have our cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be talking about the Michael Phelps effect in the media, and also a new study that takes a look at cannabis and bipolar disorder. Our musical break features something a bit experimental, from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and a group called the Hydropods, so check that out. And in our second interview segment, Normal Board of Directors member George Rohrabacher has another one of his powerful essays. This one's called Jonathan Magby, Patron Saint of Unicorns. You should have some tissues ready before you listen to this one. We've got all that coming up. It's quite a busy week in marijuana law reform, and our goal here is to keep you informed and build a community that can end adult marijuana prohibition. So let's get right to it. Spark one up. It's time for your normal daily audio stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. President Obama's DEA raids California dispensaries. California Normal has confirmed reports of 4 DEA raids in Los Angeles. The professionalism of the operations was questionable. In one case, agents reportedly failed to leave a written receipt for cash that was seized. No rhyme or reason was apparent in the selection of targets, other than they were in the same neighborhood. Agents gave no reason for the raids other than that marijuana is still illegal, but apparently suggested that they wanted to act fast before receiving new orders. California Normal believes that recent DEA conduct resembles nothing more than legalized piracy and calls on supporters to remind President Obama of his pledge to end DEA raids. The raids began around 11 a.m. and continued until 1:30 to 2 p.m. Several collective operators have commented to Normal that DEA agents were extremely destructive in their searches. Security cameras were not only removed by DEA agents, but were then literally smashed by the agents into many pieces. Pure violent destruction. While agents removed computers and electronics from most of the collectives, one operator reports that his computer hard drive was removed and smashed by DEA agents. The collectives that were raided include Venice Alternative Healing in Venice, California, Marina Caregivers in Marina Del Rey, Alternative Caregivers Discount Dispensary in Venice, and Beach Center Collective in Playa Del Rey. Americans for Safe Access is holding an emergency protest Thursday, February 5th at 12 noon at the Los Angeles Federal Building, 255 East Temple Street. While the DEA continues to stage medical marijuana raids in California, nearly 3/4 of voters think President Obama should honor his campaign pledge to end the raids, according to a poll just released of 1,053 likely voters by Zogby International. In a question sponsored by Normal, voters were asked, during the presidential campaign, Barack Obama said he would stop federal raids against medical marijuana providers in the 13 states where medical marijuana has become legal. Should President Obama keep his word to end such raids? 72% of respondents said yes, 21% said no, 7% were not sure. Yes votes outnumbered no votes by over 2-1 in all geographic, political, and demographic groups. The poll was conducted January 29th through 31st and had a margin of error of 3.1%. It's clear that the people want these raids ended. There is no logical excuse for President Obama's intransigence on this issue. It's time to act, sir. End these DEA raids now. Oregon Senate attacks medical marijuana in the workplace. Opponents of medical marijuana in the business lobby are fighting hard in Oregon to hang up the "No Medical Marijuana Patients Need Apply" sign in the storefront window. At issue is the portion of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act which states that employers need not make workplace accommodation for the use of medical marijuana. Business thought that meant no potheads on the shop floor, and patients thought that meant no using medicine at work. As we all know, the inactive metabolites of marijuana use remain detectable in one's urine for days, weeks, even months, depending on use and body type. We also know that businesses have been coerced into maintaining so-called drug-free workplaces, and to do so, they test the urine of employees for the presence of inactive metabolites of marijuana. Thus, we have the patient who medicates after work, but is sober the next day at work. He would fail the drug test, but not be impaired in the slightest. Business feels that having a drug test failing employee on the job is accommodation of medical marijuana, which they believe the OMA does not require of them. Patients feel that so long as they aren't using or impaired on the job, the workplace is accommodating nothing but their dirty pee. So to address the issue, rather than giving a pass to medical marijuana patients or scrapping urine testing in favor of proven technologies that actually detect impairment, business wants to write discrimination into the law so that no employer need accommodate any medical use of marijuana, quote, regardless of where that use may occur, end quote. House Bill 2497 and Senate Bill 426 both allow an employer to fire or not hire a medical marijuana patient for simply possessing a medical marijuana card. Senate Bill 427 goes further by not only openly discriminating against patients, but also specifically defining inactive metabolites as proof of drug impairment. I understand the Senate also wants to define pi as equal to 3.15 exactly, but that don't make that so either. The bill also gives employers the maximum latitude in drug testing so far as to even immunize employers from lawsuits over false positives. Most egregiously, the bill requires anyone who seeks to get a medical marijuana card to notify their employer first. So now you've got to get your boss's permission if you want to use this particular medicine. Denver marijuana prosecutions plunged in 2008. Prosecutions for private adult marijuana possession plunged more than 21% in 2008, reaching the lowest rate since 2005, according to the Denver City Attorney's Office. Director of Prosecution Vince DeCroce presented the 2008 statistics to the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel at its meeting Wednesday at 3:30 p.m. in the Denver City County Building. The Denver City Attorney's Office is required to provide the panel with marijuana possession statistics every 6 months. Prosecutions fell from 2,105 in 2007 to 1,658 in 2008, the year following voters' adoption of a city ordinance designating adult possession the city's lowest law enforcement priority, and Mayor John Hickenlooper's subsequent appointment of the Denver Marijuana Policy Review Panel. The panel was established to implement, monitor, and report on the new ordinance. In 2008, it recommended the city halt prosecutions for adult marijuana possession, and in August, it called on city police to refrain from citing adults during the Democratic National Convention. The new trend in marijuana prosecutions is not the result of fewer arrests for other offenses, according to DeCroce, who speculated that the number of charges filed for all offenses in Denver likely increased or held steady in 2008. Mason Tvert, a member of the panel and the executive director of Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation, or SAFER, the organization behind the successful Marijuana Initiative campaign, said, quote, "Our city punished far fewer adults for marijuana possession this year, yet the sky did not fall. Hopefully, this is just the beginning of Denver's shift toward a more rational approach to marijuana. There are still far too many adults in Denver being needlessly punished simply for using a substance that is far less harmful than alcohol. It's time to stop these prosecutions altogether and start allowing adults to make the safer choice to use marijuana instead of alcohol if that's what they prefer." End quote. Great work by Mason and the folks with SAFER out there in Denver. You know, we've seen the same result in Seattle after they passed their lowest priority initiative. We saw their marijuana arrests and prosecutions drop, and the city saved a ton of money. It's something you, as an activist, can look at the local level in ending adult marijuana. It's something you, as an activist, can look at doing at the local level. Doesn't take that many signatures, doesn't take that much money, and you, too, could have a city that has a lowest law enforcement priority. Some people will say it's largely symbolic, but I believe that any time we get a Democratic vote in favor of positive marijuana law reform, it gets us all that much closer to ending adult marijuana prohibition altogether. The View on Michael Phelps. Well, it looks like everybody in the mainstream media is talking about the Michael Phelps case. I watched the late-night comedians make their lame Cheech and Chong jokes about it. And sure enough, it turned out on the television daytime show The View, the talk show with Barbara Walters, Whoopi Goldberg, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Joy Behar, and Sherry Shepherd. Enjoy this clip of the ladies of The View talking about Michael Phelps' marijuana use.
The Olympic swimming superstar, our Michael Phelps, he's in a little bit of hot water for pictures that allegedly show him smoking pot at a party. Now, he's a kid. So this doesn't surprise me that he's smoking pot at a party.
Well, he's not just any kid, though. I mean, let's be two things. One, I think when you're making millions of dollars off of endorsements, you're not just any kid. You're someone who is being paid to be an example. Okay, people are using him as an example. It should have dawned on him by now that every single kid wants to be like him at this point. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he takes the, was it Charles Barkley who said, I'm not a role model, whether he goes that route or not, who knows? But it also kind of begs the question if he's willing to, and if this is all true, take a drug that would impede his performance, is he then, maybe does it open the door to take a drug that would enhance his performance? Is he totally clean, or is he just using things recreationally?
I think it will open up. Marijuana is the drug that will lead to steroids?
No,
I'm
saying
this about heroin for years, and it's not true.
No, but I'm saying there are athletes who say, I'm not going to put anything in my body. And if you are willing to put something in that would maybe prevent you from getting another gold medal, what would stop you from putting something in that would give you another?
Well,
people are going to ask that question.
I think
going
also,
forward.
Too, really, I didn't think of where you were going, but I'm thinking, you know, are they going to look into this? Because, you know, you have Plaxico Burress, who had a gun, and he was charged. That was illegal as well as getting high. I know it's an alleged thing, but, you know, when I looked at it, I just said, you know, are they going to hold him accountable?
What if it was scotch he was drinking instead of taking?
That's not illegal.
Illegality is one thing, but to your argument, it also impedes your performance. Your argument is impeding the performance.
Well, a drug that impedes your performance, a drug that is illegal.
You're telling me these athletes don't drink?
No, I'm saying, look, they drink, but to use an illegal, it's an illegal substance. Maybe I should say, to use an illegal substance that would prevent you from performing well, then maybe why would someone then shut the door on an illegal substance that would help them perform?
But let's deal with this at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, God help me, I'm going to make an admission, and I hope you all are sitting down.
Well, we know these.
I mean, I have to say, you know, I have smoked weed. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have. Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. You know, I understand, you know, the guy is 22 and he is a kid. He's a big kid. And the statement that he said, you know, is, listen, I did something that was not the smartest thing I could have done. But God help us, you know, pot is one of those things that kids do try. And he is not He has not said, I want to do this. He's being a kid. He made a mistake.
He's a consequence. Look, there's going to be a consequence. Look, I think we need to see consequence for these mistakes, especially when the stakes are so high.
There are lots of people who smoke weed, and you did at a certain mm-hmm. point, and maybe others did. The difference now is that he is a role model, mm-hmm. that he is looked up to. Wait, what? And he's mm-hmm. getting paid millions of dollars to be a role model to young kids. Mm-hmm. So the big question is, are these endorsements going to continue? And what do the sponsors feel about it? It is different from your smoking weed,
calls it weed. It's my favorite.
Well, what do you want to call it? Grass? I'll call it marijuana. I'll call it whatever I want. The point is that he is being paid, and I feel for him. He's a nice kid. Okay, mm-hmm. fine. But he is being paid to be a role model, and he is an athlete, and we've seen so many who have disappointed. He is being paid to be a role model.
He's being paid to be a spokesperson for companies. That's different. That's different than being someone's role model. But the thing that I really do want to say is, you know, the things that we do in our homes or in our private lives are no longer private, because I'm pretty sure if he thought someone was taking his picture and he was doing something in his house, I'm pretty sure that would have bothered him.
So it shows a lack of judgment, though, because he was also arrested on a DUI previously. They had him where he was at a bar the night before partying. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just think Michael Phelps really needs to look at what he's being paid for and the children that are looking up to this young man.
Okay, yeah. Well, I just feel like that's a lot of damn pressure to put on somebody. He's being paid to be an athlete. And he was being paid to be an actor, you know, and to be an athlete. He's not being paid to be perfect. He's being asked to be perfect, but he's not being paid for that.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid and which claims are reefer madness? Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with NORML's look at cannabis science.
This weekend sure has provided a lot of cannabis-related stories in the news, and here joining us for our cannabis science segment to talk about them is Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thanks so much.
Hey, before we get to that, though, I did want to make a note from the stash that one of our readers, Adam, had noted that Tom Daschle was out for Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he has nominated you. So just wanted to give you that, let you know that was happening.
I'd be honored to serve if asked.
we could only hope. Now, this case of Michael Phelps, this is all over the news right now. 14-time gold medal athlete who, of course, was caught smoking a bong in a photograph at a college party. And, you know, I just wanted to get a scientific look at this as, you know, people talk about marijuana not being a performance-enhancing drug. And, you know, I started to think about how we've talked about the effect of marijuana on the lungs and how it kind of, you know, expands sometimes the pulmonary capacity. Would that help Phelps in any way, needing to breathe so much, you know, keep in more oxygen and such? Or is it truly not helping his performance in any way?
It seems unlikely, and I mean, we've all heard the joke, so, you know, if there's a Twinkie at the end of the pool, maybe that makes him swim faster. And chronic use, of course, we do see respiratory symptoms in users who don't vaporize. So I'm happy to get on my vaporizer soapbox yet again. So, hey, Michael Phelps, by all means, turn to the vaporizer.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we see here, this is a clear case of amotivation. The guy's only won 14 gold medals, so cannabis is clearly, you know, impairing his performance. I have seen both Olympic skiers and snowboarders tell me that, in fact, improvement in focus and some, you know, mild analgesia, some handling of pain with cannabis has helped them during practice. I mean, you know, swimming long distances can be kind of difficult, but this was not, you know, one of those incidents. This really seemed like a celebratory use of cannabis by an adult. I also had a caller on another show mention that apparently Phelps has struggled with some attention deficit problems, and we, you know, had a number of case studies of attention deficit disorder responding quite favorably to medical cannabis, although it may not be, you know, everybody's first pick for how to handle those troubles. Perhaps he's turning to that on occasion to deal with issues around focus.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. And as Paul, Paul Armentano has noted, he's not that out of the mainstream of 23-year-old men in this country as far as use of cannabis goes.
Oh, the majority of guys his age are users. So more people have tried at his age group than who have not tried. So, you know, there's really no reason to be stunned about this. I've been very pleased to learn that apparently Mazda is going to let him keep his endorsement deal, and a number of other crews are, you know, not going to turn their backs on him simply because he happens to be a responsible adult.
Sociologically speaking on this, do you think this might be the kind of watershed moment in cannabis history in the media where people finally let go of that amotivational syndrome idea, or the idea that people who smoke pot can't get anywhere in life?
Well, I got to bring up the fact that you did a superb blog on this, making fun of the previous ONDCP racist ad about becoming a burrito taster if you're a cannabis user. And to become a world-class athlete just from using cannabis, of course, isn't going to happen. But the fact that one can, I think, certainly belies this notion that cannabis is a guaranteed invitation to becoming some kind of apathetic slug. And I recall fondly at the Normal Conference Mike Gray standing up and saying, this is the tipping point. We're really at this time now. So the fact that he's not getting more trouble than he is getting, I think, is a sign that people are suddenly learning that, you know, cannabis is, in fact, something we can use responsibly in adult life without really creating any negative consequences necessarily, and by all means to put somebody at risk for legal problems because of possession just seems a real waste of our limited resources.
Oh, yeah, and a waste of the greatest swimmer of our lifetime, certainly. Now, you had mentioned Michael Phelps' potential use of cannabis for attention deficit disorder. Another thing that we had gone over in emails was a study that had just come out regarding cannabis and bipolar disorder. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about that research.
The bottom line on that one was it seemed that folks with bipolar who had chosen to use cannabis ended up being more likely to have a relapse, to have another manic episode. And I feel like these are complicated data, and bipolar disorder is a very heterogeneous, mixed kind of disorder, very different for different people. But that nonetheless, I can certainly get behind the message of, hey, if you have a mental illness, particularly bipolar or psychosis, you might want to be very, very careful with the use of cannabis. Now, invariably, we've got case studies of folks who really appreciate cannabis in their treatment of bipolar. They find it's either alleviates some of their negative moods, tends to decrease some of the extremes on their positive or irritable moods, or just makes them more accepting of their moods, if you will. So it's not that they're less sad or less effusive, but that they're a little more accepting of themselves about that fact. But obviously this is a rare set of cases. I want to point out that in this study, it's not that people were randomly assigned to smoke pot or not. So it's distinctly possible that folks with more severe symptoms in the first place tended to turn to cannabis in a curious sort of self-medicating way, and then may have essentially lapsed not because of the cannabis, but in fact they turned to cannabis first in hope of avoiding a lapse, but then the lapse was inevitable, and they ended up having a return trip to the hospital.
You know, this issue of cannabis use and mental health disorders, it seems to be, you know, ever evolving here. You and I talk about this week after week, and there always seems to be some new study. Is there a summary, or could you just summarize? You know, I know that cannabis use has been seen to be good for treating anxiety, post-traumatic stress, but then we see these studies where it might be bad for people that have schizotypal reactions or this new one with bipolar. What is the good and the bad with regard to mental health and particular disorders and the use of cannabis for them?
Well, so if we go all the way back to some of the big reviews when we first started doing this show together, there's a small effect but an interesting one in 7 different studies linking particularly early in life, heavy use to some kind of psychotic problem, mostly schizotypy. So not like full-blown schizophrenia so much as just being kind of a weird person in a way that's kind of maladaptive. Research of mine has suggested that maybe the measurement of that is a little bit biased against people who use cannabis. But the bottom line is, if you've got a schizophrenic identical twin or, you know, a number of psychotics in the family, cannabis just may not be for you. But I would point out also that alcohol would not be for you, and I'd be very careful with extreme doses of caffeine under those circumstances as well. For depression, there really doesn't seem to be much of a longitudinal link, except in one study, and it was only, again, heavy use early in life for adolescent depression. And I'm a little suspicious because they ran a bazillion statistical tests in there, and some of those findings may be by chance. I'm a big fan of depression treatments that are purely psychological. So a 12-session treatment with a therapist can last you a lifetime and is actually cheaper than all the pot you could buy over years and years.
Good point.
And by all means, it might actually make it so that you could just use your pot for fun. Finally, the big ones now are with bipolar disorder, and Lester Grinspoon, whose name is on the award I was given by Normal, first published some of the big case studies on this where people with bipolar said they responded well to cannabis. We have this new study and at least one other that suggests that particularly when people are feeling the mania coming on, cannabis is probably not a good idea. But again, I don't think a lot of caffeine or even Benadryl would be a good idea when you feel the mania coming on. And we do have other pharmacological treatments for this. Lithium is very popular but has some rough side effects. And folks should really work that out with a physician. But my only real fear with that one is that bipolar disorder in particular has a high risk of suicide. And this is not something I want to see anybody flirt with. As soon as you feel like your mood is getting out of control, by all means go to a mental health professional and just say, hey, things are getting wild. What do you recommend? And we can catch those folks on the AABQ website or at your local community mental health center. And it's astounding what a big difference just talking to one person, even for just an hour, can make in those kinds of situations.
Absolutely. Now, for more information on this stuff, if people want to ask you about mental health and cannabis, you got an email address they can send to?
So I'm always eager to talk to folks on this topic. It's 420 Research, the number 4, number 2, number 0, research at gmail.com. And, there's literally just wonderful stuff on bipolar and depression and the psychotic disorders on the internet. The AABT website, aabt.org, those are my homies in the behavior therapy world. And Wikipedia is actually very up to date on some of the bipolar research, and I've been very pleased with how on top of it they've been.
Well, excellent. We'll keep all that in mind, and you stashers out there that look up some of this information, if you've got medical marijuana laws in your state, most of the states have some sort of condition where you can petition to be able to get more conditions recognized for medical marijuana, and most of the states don't recognize medical marijuana for these psychiatric conditions, so we want to get as much of that true information out to the people as we can. And Dr. Earlywine joins us every week here on Wednesday for Cannabis Science to help us do that, and thanks, Dr. Mitch, for being here.
Always a pleasure.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana.
Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For a change from hearing the music entries of the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards, we'll listen to poetry, Agent X by Hydropods, entered in both the 2009 Global MMA and 2009 American MMA Best Poetry categories. Hydropods are Gary Glover and John Dooley, who perform, as they put it, spoken words with music played. The sound of a Hydropods piece is enlightening. Completely without pretense, Hydropods succeed, as they say, because sometimes simple life is much more entertaining than stretching and twisting reality. John Dooley is an award-winning poet and freelance journalist living in Oregon. His written work has appeared in publications around the world. Gary Glove is a multi-instrument musician with over 30 years of playing and recording experience. He continues to work as a professional studio musician, producer, and engineer. Hydropod's new CD, Gorilla, is their first album with 30 tracks. To listen to more spoken words with music played, go to Hydropod's website, hydropods.net, or their MySpace page at myspace.com/hydropods. You can vote for Agent X by Hydropods in both the 2009 Global and American Marijuana Music Awards at the Marijuana Music Awards website, marijuanamusicawards.com, or at our blog at stash.normal.org. This is Hydropods with Agent X.
Forearms, biceps, and chest of a bricklayer. Legs like tree roots, rippling strength. Agent X stood solid. He lived in a trailer house next door. A forest growing circles around his place and mine. Sun rising, wild geese overhead. We could almost make out the clamor of salmon hatchery workers down the road. "Here you go, John," he said, stuffing a purple bud into a platinum bong. We sat on a 9-foot-wide cedar stump, giant, thoughtful dwarves. It was going to be a good day. A couple beers, some marijuana, another human being for company. I asked him how things were going between him and the DEA. "Same old shit," he